So 1 Corinthians, which is found in the Pew Bible on page 156 of the New Testament, chapter 1, verses 20 through 31. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided, through the foolishness of our proclamation, to save those who believe. For Jews demanded signs, and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, God is the power. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's wisdom is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful, and not many were of noble birth. But God chose what was foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing the things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Jesus Christ, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you.
And we'll turn to our gospel lesson. It comes from Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. And if you're able, please stand. When they have come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of the donkey." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Mark. And I asked him to read the New Testament to save my voice a little bit. I don't think I have a cold, just allergies now, but I understand he did a wonderful sermon, and actually the recording thereof is on the internet, and I did listen to it, and I would like a copy, and he's going to get me that because it was meaningful. It was a wonderful, wonderful job. He did not know he was preaching till Saturday morning, so, you know, if it was a little short, you'll understand that it takes time to prepare. It takes work to put all that together. So that happens when you don't have a lot of time. The sermons may come out a little short. The backside of that is that I've had 2 weeks to work on this one. If you have plans, you might want to cancel them for lunch and dinner and... Now, my voice won't allow me to go too long, but I'd like to share something from the bishop that ordained me. How many of you have ever met Bishop Roy Sano? He was our bishop in the 80s, 90s, somewhere in there. I couldn't tell you his dates. Diminutive man. He's not very large. He's born in the United States, American through and through, if you will. A very clear Japanese heritage. And it was a joy to be able to hear him many times. He told me of World War II. He and his family lived in California, and they were interred. You've heard those stories of being locked away in prison camps for fear that they would do horrible fifth column traitorous sorts of things. And in retrospect, we can look back and realize that many times the properties that they owned, the businesses that they had, the assets that were theirs, that they had built up over generations, all of those were confiscated and not returned. So greed was a major part of what had happened there as well. And that's just one of those black marks on the heritage of our country for which I hope we continue to apologize. But Bishop Sano told of being in the internment camps. He remembers being in them. And they weren't much, and many of them were in rather destitute places. The one in southeast Colorado, there's not much left there at all. But I can imagine in the wintertime how destitute that was, how cold that was. And in fact, it was bare subsistence. But they were a good Buddhist family, and so they soldiered on. But people came to visit them. And they said, "What do you need?" And they said, "Well, what do you mean?" And they said, "Well, this is not right. We don't agree with this, what has happened. And this is, we can't get you out of these camps, but we can help you the best we can." So they provided extra food. They provided cloth for them to sew. They provided clothing for them to wear. They did what they could. And Bishop Roy Sano said his father asked him, he said, "Why are you doing this?" And the people said, "Because we are Christians. And that's what Christians do." Bishop Sano's father converted from Buddhism to Christianity based on those acts of love and care from people that did not need acknowledgement, people that, just like you, each of you, who had gone and offered love. From that conversion to Christianity, the son Roy was ordained an elder, consecrated a bishop, and ordained me an elder. I am grateful for those Christians unnamed that reach out and offered in kindness. Bishop Sano wrote a meditation during our Lenten journey. And I wanted to share it. I wanted to share it last week, but as you know, that didn't happen, and Mark filled in beautifully. But he read it, and apparently you've read this out. Now, you changed the scripture, didn't you? You changed the New Testament. Okay, so. But you'd heard this during Easter. Your king is coming to you humble, mounted on a donkey. Matter of fact, Palm Sunday. How many of you remember Palm Sunday? Remember, that was summertime back then, remember? We're already to winter again. The people knew that passage. They knew their Bibles. Their Bibles were the Torah, the Old Testament, and they knew Zechariah. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Zechariah, the prophet, speaking God's word to the people, telling the people who would be coming, who their leader would be, who he would approve, who he would send to them. Not a warrior on a stallion, not a warrior with sword and armor, but a king on a donkey. Humble and riding on a donkey. Palm Sunday, Hosanna, Hosanna. Say it with me, Hosanna. Thank you. Save my voice a little. It means save us. Save us. They were in the middle of being occupied, exploited, persecuted by the Romans that were ruling the land, the Empire of Rome. And they were ready for someone to come and lead them out of that and to lead a revolution and lead them to change. And they'd heard of this fellow, Jesus. He was healing the sick and feeding the hungry, 5,000 people fed. He was lifting up people that were weary and heavy laden. He was helping them carry burdens. He was offering his good news to them. And they were excited because now he comes with the sign. He's riding humbly on a donkey. This has to be fortuitous. This has to be what it was. Could it be that he is the Messiah, the chosen one, the Christ? Hosanna, come on, King. They are excited. Here comes your king riding on a donkey. What an exciting weekend. And within a week, he's dead. Within a week, he has been arrested, abused, crucified, dead and gone. Can you imagine how crushed that must have been? How that would have felt like defeat? And to the Roman government, would it have felt satisfying to say, well, we headed off that little uprising. We've defeated them utterly. Their hope is dead and gone. Looking back over several millennia, we have the ability to look back and chuckle and say, we know the rest of the story. They did not. They didn't know. They weren't sure. They weren't aware of. How do they do that? But they had learned from him how to love one another a little bit. How to take care of each other, struggle through his death, struggle with how to continue to be Christians and how to worship in a place where it wasn't legal to worship. How to do those things. How to care for each other and their struggles. How to take over a meal for people that were hurting. How to say a kind word, to send a card, to take care of each other and offer the love of Christ one to one. Bishop Sano's thesis in his statement was that God intends for us to act as humbly as he did in Christ, and as all of those people did, to change the world and to change the world today. It wasn't through huge, magnificent acts of power, through use of force, through the judicial mandates, through laws, through trials and judges, through dictating who was obeying and who was disobeying. They began to change the world through the only real change that comes, and that is the conquest of the human heart. Diana, she's got that passage memorized now, I'm sure. You've got my cough, too. So you keep the cough, and I'll take over from here now. So. Paul was writing to people in Corinth. Must have been a well-educated community. Kind of like Aurora, a lot of wives, people, teachers, preachers, specialists. They would have had the wisdom of the philosophers, the wisdom of the Greeks, the wisdom of the scholars of the Bible then the Torah. And Paul was one of those, you recall. He was a biblical scholar. He knew the laws. He knew what was right, and he knew what was wrong and how to argue them, and he became an enforcer of those laws, vigorously enforcing those laws. Chief priests, Sadducees, scribes, they all were these wise authorities in the laws and of right and wrong. And Paul says, where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? He was speaking to those people very clearly. You are no humble riders of donkeys, any of you, out of your wisdom. Humility. That's not something that we do well in the United States of America. How many of you have ever heard the rock band Queen? Have you ever heard of them? And they had a song entitled, We Are the Champions. I would say that all of us have heard that, whether we wanted to or not. whether from one of their albums or from commercials who have been made. The United States of America is the champion of the world. We are numero uno, aren't we? And along with that has come the duty of becoming world police. Wherever there seems to be turmoil and struggle, we hope that gatherings of nations, united groups and countries and allies would work together, but it seems like we're the ones that always go. We become the world police and we send our young men and women into harm's way. And that's a struggle. That's a struggle for me. And it's a struggle when we hear that Jesus said, those who live by the sword will die by the sword. How can we be about that? We cannot allow injustices to pass. But we also have to be those who are about, as Bishop Sano points out, we have to be humble as Jesus was humble. We have to be those humble riders of donkeys. You see, you remember history now. You can look back and you can remember. Who can tell me the date that Christianity conquered Rome in the battle of... Oh, wait, there wasn't one. There wasn't a battle. There isn't a date. And yet, where is Rome today? Where is the Roman Empire and where is Christianity? How did that change come to pass? Not through force of arms, not through battles and warriors and wars and conquests militarily. How did those changes come? Bishop Sano talked about a bit of history that I was not as aware of, that in its colonial period, you remember the colonial period, there was the English Empire and there were empires all around the world, the Japanese Empire included the Korea Peninsula and the Philippines. They were part of the Japanese Empire. And those persons were subjugated as part of the empire, and the empire used them as income, financial, and exploited them, as empires will do. They are no longer the emperors of Korea or of the Philippines. When did that battle happen? When did that war occur? Oh gosh, it didn't, did it? Those changes come, as Bishop Sano pointed out, person to person, heart to heart. Changes that changed the world not through might and force and armies and but by persons caring one for another, offering Christ and offering justice. Occasionally you'll see a movie or a program or read a piece of literature that talks about someone being crucified. And it's almost a sacred, honorable way to die, isn't it? It's when we are crucified, that's showing that we were right all along. The crucifixion has changed in its meaning for us in that respect. Jesus' crucifixion was not honorable. It was the most demeaning, lowest, crudest, worst way to die that could be imagined. It was for the very lowest of the low. And Jesus was humbled even unto crucifixion. That's pretty humble. So humility. Paul said, God chose what is low and despised in the world, the things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are. It's an interesting phrase that I'm sure it's a translation from his original Greek, but things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are. That battle between Christianity and Rome came to an end. It came to a glorious end with Rome as a footnote in the annals of history, in Christianity today. continuing. And it continues through person to person, through love to love, from heart to heart. And it comes humbly, riding on the donkey. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Let's be aware that amongst that parade of Palm Sunday, we're celebrating our humility as well, and our need to be those. God intends to act the same way through us today as through Christ. Here is his ending prayer, Bishop Sano. Dear God, even if I feel like I am a nobody, by your grace, empower me to join others who will reduce to nothing the sin and suffering of this world. Amen.